also want to begin by saying that those who do not understand the Old Testament cannot understand the New. The early church, that was the Bible they had. The early church fathers commented that the Old Testament is full of Jesus Christ. And I told you, you know, the first of the verse, well, let's just read it together, Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Today we're going to talk about the breaking of bread. The apostles' teaching, we found out, was the scriptures. So it said the church, after they had been baptized into Christ, their top priority was the Word of God, the Scriptures. Peter said, we have very great and precious promises whereby we may become partakers of the divine nature. The next thing they devoted themselves to was the fellowship. The Greek word there means partnership. And the Scriptures teach that first and foremost, when we become a Christian, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And then we are to have fellowship with one another. And John goes on to say in 1 John, if we can't get along with each other, we can't get along with God. It's something that you and I have to strive for among ourselves. It's easy to love God. It's a little harder to love each other. God doesn't have any faults and we're full of them. And today we're going to talk about the breaking of bread. Father, I thank you for the word, that your word is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. You said that he would take all things that belong to you and show them to us. I ask this morning that you open our hearts to understand your word and to become closer to you and to be made more in the image of Jesus Christ. I pray if anyone here this morning has never relinquished control of their life to you, and came to Jesus Christ as Savior, that this might be the day of salvation. We ask it all for your glory, and in Jesus' name, amen. All right, first, what we're going to talk about quickly is, where did the communion come from? The early church devoted themselves to communion. We argue among the churches, the Restoration Churches, Disciples, Churches of Christ, and Christian Church, and if there's other names I'm not aware of, but we all hold to the fact that in the book of Acts it said on the first day of the week they met and broke bread. And all the scholars agree that's the communion meal. But then that's where we begin to differentiate, is how often you do it. Where did that come from? Was it something that the apostles dreamed up? No. And I know you know this. You can find it in Exodus 12. It's called by two names, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. There were three holy convocations to the Lord that were to be held in the city that he put his name in once a year. And it was required that all the eldest males of the family, the firstborn, had to be there. And it was these three festivals were considered very holy to God. So it was a form of worship. It was a form of obedience that God said, I want you here on this day, and you are to worship me. You're to offer sacrifices. And it's a commandment, it's not a request or a suggestion. You have to be here. The historian Josephus said the population of Jerusalem in the days of Jesus was probably about 100,000. He said at Passover, it easily went over 1 million. Jews came from all over the world to celebrate the Passover feast. Most of you know what the Passover feast was about. We read of its institution in the book of Exodus. Now, the breaking of bread in the Greek, according to Dr. James Strong, it means to fracture, the break, to fracture or tear apart. Bread means a loaf of bread. You know, there's no mystical meaning to it, to tear apart a loaf of bread. So the early church devoted themselves to tearing apart bread. Well, that's not what it means, although some treat it that way, I'm sorry to say. We in the West do not have the same concept these Jewish Christians had of Passover or communion. And I don't mean that as an insult. We just did not have the background they did. They understood the Passover meal to be very holy and to be done in a spirit of reverence and worship. So in the Passover meal, God said first and foremost to Moses, the bread has to be unleavened. The Jews call that matzah bread. They still serve it today in their Passover meal. Unleavened means no yeast. Yeast represents sin in the Word of God, except in one instance when Jesus used it in a parable to compare the kingdom of heaven. But otherwise, metaphorically, it always represented sin. So God told the Jewish women, you can bake bread for this 7-day feast, but it cannot be made with yeast. And it was such a serious infraction of what he wanted them to do that he said, if you even have yeast in your house for 7 days, I will cut you off from this covenant. How many of you know that's serious? God said, this is how serious it is. If you eat anything with yeast in it during these 7 days, I'll cut you off. You cannot do this anymore. You cannot be my people. Now, on the 10th day of the first month, God commanded the Jews, every family take a lamb according to your family. If it's two small families, it can't eat a whole lamb. He said, let them take a lamb for both families. But they were to pin the lamb up on the 10th day of the week, and on the evening of the 14th day, they were to slaughter it. So you kept this lamb for 4 days. I imagine your kids got attached to it. They gave it a name. You fed it, you watered it, you took care of it. But on the evening at sunset of the 14th day, that was the beginning day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, God said you slaughtered the lamb. You took some of its blood, you put it on the doorpost of your house. You took the lamb, you didn't skin it, you didn't gut it. I know that's hillbilly, I'm not trying to be rude, but you did not clean the lamb. You roasted it, head, tail, and all, in a fire. God said, you eat it all before sunrise. What you don't eat has to be burned. Don't eat it if there's any left till the next morning. They ate bitter herbs, and they drank wine with the meal. Okay, I already told you the unleavened bread represented no sin. So God said, you get this yeast out of your house, because if you don't, I see that as sin, and I will not bless you. Peter, I believe it was Peter who said, let us worship God with the bread, unleavened bread of sincerity. Wayne mentioned this morning, I think it was, that Paul said to examine yourself before you take this communion meal. Check yourself out. Do a self-check and say, do I have unconfessed sin in my life, God? Do I have sin I'm hanging on to? If I do, I need to repent. That's an example of leaven. So God said, first thing you got to do, you make the bread and there can't be any yeast in it, because yeast represents sin and I don't want any sin there. The next thing you do, you slaughter the lamb and you put the blood on the doorpost. And he said, when I see the blood, I will not allow the destroyer to come into your house. I looked that word up in Hebrew because I want to know, well, who's the destroyer? And the literal word in Hebrew means decay. We associate decay with death, and rightly so. So here's my opinion. God said to the Jews, when I see the blood on your door, I won't let death come into your house. That is so cool to me that death has to have God's permission. Death couldn't just kick in the doors and kill people. God said, you can only kill who I tell you to kill. Why the blood? Because the Jews were just as sinful as the Egyptians. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. People, God said, Moses, I'm choosing these people to be my holy people. And he said, this was the last plague of Egypt. He said, when I do this, Pharaoh won't ask you to leave. He'll kick you out. He said, the firstborn in every house shall die at midnight. So he said, Moses, when you kill the lamb, instruct the people to take some of the lamb's blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. When I see the blood, when I walk by and see the blood, I'll tell death, you can't go in there. Why? Because their sins have been atoned for. The wages of sin is death. God is so bound by his own law that he won't break it. He won't fudge on it. He won't make exceptions. That is so cool to me, and I know that's not a theological term. It's something from my generation. But it just amazes me that God is so holy, he's bound by his own law. And he said, you got to put this blood on because you're no better than the Egyptians, and if the blood ain't there, your firstborn's going to die. So what would they do? The Bible says by faith Moses kept the Passover. Moses didn't keep that to himself. He said, y'all better put blood on the door or your firstborn kid will be dead in the morning. We know that it says there arose a great cry of weeping and mourning in Egypt, for there was not one house where somebody wasn't dead. God fulfilled his promise. God told death, go get them. Only the firstborn. You can kill the firstborn. Don't touch the rest of the family. What a God that he has that kind of control. So the blood of the lamb had to be shed for the forgiveness of the Jews' sins in order for God to allow death to pass by. At the feast, the lamb was roasted whole. We'll talk about that in just a minute, what the significance of that is. At the feast, the father or the eldest male would take the matzah, he would bless it, ask God's blessing on it, and he would begin to tear it into pieces, and he would give it to each person at the table. That bread also represented them to them their slavery in Egypt. So it was a memorial to God. We were slaves, and we're doing this because you said you're going to set us free. And we're doing this, God said, do it for the rest of your generations. And when your children say, why do we do this? God said, then you can tell them, because we were slaves and God set us free. And we do this every year as a memorial to commemorate and worship God. So Dad would sing a blessing over the bread, give it to everybody, they would eat. They would eat the lamb. And then Dad would take, I believe I read there was three different cups of wine served. Everybody drank it, including the children. And Dad would take a cup of wine and bless it. He would take a drink of it and pass it around the table. Everybody took a drink of it. It represented the blood that had to be shed for their sins. I hope you're staying with me and you're not getting bored. I'm going to try to keep this within a respectable time frame. You may be sitting there saying, Rick, this is old hat to me. I think we need to go over this. I didn't have a firm grasp on communion until I studied these passages. And I never realized just how holy this meal is in the sight of God. You see, by doing this, God said, I'm entering into a covenant with you. The Hebrew word for covenant is berith, and it means to cut. Blood had to be shed for this covenant. God said, you can slaughter the animal, and that animal blood will ratify this covenant, because in the blood is the life. Life has to be given because you're a sinner, and you deserve to die for your sins, but I'm going to allow you to put the lamb's blood on your door, and I will atone you, and death can't touch you. This bread represents the slavery you've been in, but it also represents my presence among you as your God, so it can't have yeast in it, because that makes it sinful, and I'm not sinful. Dad blesses the bread, he tears it up, gives it to everybody. He takes the wine, which represents the blood of the covenant, the lamb's blood. He blesses it and takes a drink, and he passes it around to mom and the kids, aunts, uncles, whoever's there, and they all drink out of that cup. And that's a way to commemorate that God allowed the lamb's blood to be shed for us so we didn't die for our sins. Now, the Jews understood all this. The Jewish Christians understood the implication of what happened when the night that he was betrayed, they were at Passover. It was the first day of Passover, the first day of unleavened bread. God said on the first day of unleavened bread, it is a holy assembly. No work can be done. The only thing the women can do is cook the evening meals. It was a Sabbath. It was holy. The seventh day is also a holy assembly. You remember when Jesus was on the cross and it said the Pharisees didn't want him hanging there overnight, him and the thieves, because it was an especially high Sabbath. This was Passover when this was going on. And the Pharisees told Pilate, we can't have them hanging on that cross. Why? Because cursed is everyone who hangs on a cross. And when we celebrate Passover, we don't want God coming through here and seeing those cursed people on the cross. He's liable to curse us. This is how serious this was to them. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, the matzah, and he broke it, and he passed it out to the disciples, and he said, eat this, all of you. This is my body. The Jews asked Jesus one time, what sign are you going to show us? That's after he fed the 5,000. For it is written, he gave them bread from heaven, referring to the manna. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you that bread, God did. And he said, our fathers ate the manna, and where they're at, they're all dead. He said, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. If you eat of me, you'll never die. And the Jews thought he was deranged. They thought he was talking about cannibalism. Jesus was speaking metaphorically. I don't even think his disciples understood completely when he tore up the matzah. And he said, you know what? This isn't representing your slavery in Egypt anymore. This is representing your slavery to sin. And I'm going to give my body so that power can be broken in your life. I'm going to bring you out of the darkness of the world, the entanglement of sin that the world's caught in. Satan's the god of this world. I'm going to take you out of his kingdom and put you in mine. But in order to do that, I have to give my body. And Paul writes that Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body. Jesus said, I am the true bread that came down from heaven, that if anyone will eat of it, he won't die. He's not talking about physical death. He was talking about spiritual death, the second death, the Bible called it, the eternity in the lake of fire, where you will know God's wrath forever and ever and ever, because you chose to live in sin and not accept this offer. Now, why did God command the whole lamb to be roasted and not cleaned? It couldn't even cut the head off. They couldn't skin it, because that lamb also represented two sacrifices. One was the sin offering. The blood was given for the forgiveness of sins, and when the priest would give a sin offering on your behalf, he would take the animal, slaughter it, pour the blood out on the altar. That would forgiveness of sins. He would put the body outside the camp and burn it, because it was a sin offering. The altar was holy. That animal's carcass was bearing sin, and God said, don't you burn that in the camp. You take it out to an unclean place, burn the body. But in the fellowship offering, they would offer the animal's carcass on the altar, roast it with fire. The priest got his portion, because that's how they paid their priest, that he was supplied with food for his ministry. You took the part that wasn't dedicated to God. There was a piece of the meat that was God's. You didn't touch it. It was burnt and it was most holy. But God said, you take the rest of it and sit down and have a family picnic. They called it a fellowship offering. And the Jews looked at it as, you get to eat lunch with God. Fellowship. Isn't that cool? God invited them to come, and he said, first you got to pour the blood out for your sins, because you are a sinful people. But when you do that and I atone, then you can sit down and eat this, and I'll have lunch with you. Not literally, but it was a time of rejoicing and worshiping God, because you have made it possible for me to talk with you, to sit in your presence and eat. So the roasted lamb represented a sin offering, because God said if there's any left, you can't eat it. And even the priests were commanded, if there was any offering left till morning that they didn't eat, he said, it's most holy, don't you eat it. And he said to the Jewish laity, don't you dare eat it, it's most holy, you burn it all up in the fire, because that's mine. Wow. So the lamb's body had to be burned outside because it was a sin offering, but it was also eaten because it was a fellowship. We just talked about fellowship last Sunday, a partnership, a sign of the covenant God was entering into with these people. He said, I'm going to let you eat supper with me tonight. I'm providing for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said, take and drink of this cup, for this is my blood, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He doesn't just say blood. He says, my blood of the new covenant. We say new and old testament. The original wording is new and old covenant. The Bible said if God hadn't have found fault with the first covenant, he wouldn't have made another. But he found fault with it and said, I'm making a new covenant. I'm going to forgive their sins. I'm going to provide the sacrifice. I'm going to provide the sinless Son of God to die on their behalf, and he'll shed his blood one time. The priest had to sacrifice goats and sheep every year. And the Bible says you were still a sinner. Your sins were covered, but you didn't change. You were still a sinner every year. And he said, every year you were reminded of your sinfulness. But he said, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse your conscience from acts that lead to death. The blood of bulls and goats didn't do it. And he only had to do it once. Praise God. So Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant. John said, Jesus says, which is poured out for you. Them 11 men that were sitting there eating supper with Jesus. Now, it's not a contradiction. The other writers say many, and that's the truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not have to perish, but could have everlasting life. So it was the many, but I like the way John personalizes it. Jesus looked at the 11 and said, drink this cup because it represents my blood that I'm pouring out for you. That's why we take this communion, church. We eat the unleavened bread to commemorate that God sent his Son to take our sins in his body. Paul said, he who knew no sin became sin for you when he was hung on the cross so you could become the righteousness of God. He said Jesus took the curse of sin of the law on himself because the law says cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's why the crucifixion was so terrible to the Jews. If you were crucified, that meant God's curse was on you. God didn't like you. And it was scandalous. And Paul said Jesus, through the law, although he was sinless, took our curse on him, and he satisfied the law. He said Jesus poured his blood out for the forgiveness of our sins. He satisfied the law. He satisfied God's justice, and it made it safe for God to forgive us believers for our sins. And we don't have to do it every year like they had to under the old covenant. This is a new covenant. His whole body was offered on the cross. He wasn't executed in the city limits of Jerusalem, because even though they were wicked, the city was where God put his name, so it was considered a holy place. And Paul said, just as the priest burned the sin offering outside the camp, outside the tabernacle, so Jesus suffered outside the city limits, our sin offering. Now, I said at the beginning of this, I don't think we quite grasp just how solemn this occasion is. The Jewish Christians did. They realized that we're here to worship God. We're here to commemorate what he did for us. They understood the bread and the wine and the blood. Now, I'm not saying everybody in the church that we don't know. I'm admitting to you that I had not gave it much thought till I started putting this message together. It amazed me. I'll never look at communion the same again. I'll tell you, very quickly in the early church, the elders tore the matzah up. Nobody else was allowed to do it unless the elders asked somebody to help at the table. And they handed it out to the congregation and they ate. The elders would take the glass of wine and ask God's blessing, and they would hand it out and everybody would drink of it. If you were not a baptized Christian, you were asked to leave the service. They did communion at the very end of the service. And it wasn't mean. They just said, you're not a believer. You're not in this covenant, and this is a holy covenant, and we can't let somebody who is not holy before God, whose sins are not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can't let you partake of this ceremony. It's an insult to God. Now today we'd say, well, that's harsh. This church, we do open communion. We just say, hey, this is between you and the Lord. They took it very serious. These are Jewish Christians. And it passed on to the Gentile. Also, this kind of impressed me. If you were two members of the church, were fussing and arguing and bickering with one another, and you refused to make up, the elders would ask you to leave the service. They'd say, you're not walking in fellowship with Christ, and it's evidence because you can't even fellowship with each other, and we don't want you here tanking this holy assembly. Whoa! There'd be some Sundays that table wouldn't get served. I'm being honest. I'm an elder, and there'd be some Sundays I couldn't even serve you communion. You know, I'd have to repent. If I was had it out with somebody in the church, I'd have to go to you first and say, please forgive me. That's how solemn and holy it was to the church. You know, we need to teach that today in the church. Sometimes we say, well, we don't want to spend too much time in the Old Testament because we'll get bogged down in legalism. You can't understand the new without understanding the old. The New Testament is an explanation of the old. Remember, I said Jesus opened his disciples' mind to understand Scripture, and boy, they had a whole new outlook. They said, we didn't know we had all this. But through the Holy Spirit, they went, wow. As that one elder said, this book is full of Jesus. It ain't just about legalistic law. It's all prophecies about Jesus Christ. Paul said the law was a shadow of the things to come. Everything in the law, 615 ordinances, all represented what Jesus Christ was going to do when he got here. Praise God. So I'm saying my attitude's changed about this table. I've been guilty of sitting there taking communion and having my mind somewhere else. I'm not going to do that anymore. This is a holy offering. This is a holy commemoration. This is a form of worship. We talk about worship in the church. Yeah, we sing some worship music. The whole service is worship. The music, the communion, the teaching of the word, the prayers, that's all worship. Next week, we're going to talk about the prayers. I told Brother Wayne yesterday, I could preach this month on this, and next month I could preach on the negative side of doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. You see, every positive side of the scripture has a negative consequence or side. You do this, I'll bless you. You don't do this, you're going to be cursed. That was in the law. Paul says, we are holy and blameless in God's sight if we continue unmoved in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't worry, I'm not going to break off on that. I've been asking the Holy Spirit to restrain me because I tend to like to preach both sides and that makes too long of a message. What a God we serve. That he was willing to allow his son's body to be hung on the tree, but they couldn't break any bones. The Passover lamb, God said, don't break one bone. And John records when Jesus died, you know the story, they broke the thieves' legs because you couldn't push up on the nails to breathe and they suffocated. But when they got to Jesus, they didn't break his bones. They stuck a spear in his side because he was already dead. And John said, and the scripture was fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And they shall look on him who they pierced. David wrote that in a song. Do you see how the Old Testament is full of Jesus? Yeah, God was showing his people, guess what I'm going to do? You know, one of these days you won't sacrifice lamb's blood. I'm going to sacrifice my own son's blood. And you don't have sacrifice lamb's blood anymore. You're still going to eat the matzah and drink the wine. But now it represents the new covenant. Where I will be in you and write my laws in your hearts and in your mind. And no longer will you have to tell your neighbor, you know the Lord, you need to know the Lord, because he said they'll all know me through the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, what a God we have. We're all sinners deserving God's wrath and eternal punishment. We're all going to live forever, our spirits are. Eternal life doesn't just mean you're going to live forever. Eternal life is you'll live forever with God. Eternal death is you'll live forever in the lake of fire with Satan and his angels, and you will endure God's wrath for eternity, no end. And God said, I don't want you there, so I'm making a way that I can forgive you of your sins and bring you over to my side. Would you stand with me this morning? I just want you to ask yourself this question. Where am I at this morning? Have I ever took God up on his offer? If you haven't, it doesn't matter how good of a person you are, how decent you think you are. God said you're his enemy and you're lost. And all you have to look forward to is his wrath when he judges you for your sins. And I'm not saying I want you to come up here and do anything. I'm just saying if you can say, you know, I haven't done that, then do it. Say, you're right. And I don't want to suffer this way. I don't want to be cut off from you forever. I want that sacrifice you made for me, I want it applied to my life. And God said, I'll do it. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And after that, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word says. The Bible says, do not harden your heart against the voice of the Holy Spirit. Today is the day of salvation. I played that game for years. Well, maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. God said, don't do that. That's dangerous. Because there may come a time that I'll quit inviting you. If you need to make that decision, make it. Settle it with God.